It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
So when it comes to fighting poverty, who should take the lead? Is it the church? Is it the government? Church charities are on the forefront generally, and religious charities, as I should say. But government aid has the resources, isn't it? Let's discuss which one is better equipped to serve those in need. And that's conversation is going to be with Pastor Passmore Munga. Pastor, good afternoon to you. Welcome. And thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Thank you very much, my brother and our listeners. It's a pleasure to be on this conversation. Good afternoon.
So what are the strengths and limitations of church charities compared to government aid programs in tackling the issue of poverty?
Thank you. Maybe briefly, we can also give a working definition for poverty. When I was checking, I found poverty is defined as lack of adequate financial resources or state of one who lacks the usual or socially acceptable amount of money or material possessions. So with that, when we look at the strengths and limitations of the church, we find that the church has got one of its greatest strengths is that the church is closer to the people than government. The church is closer to the people than government. And also, we find that the church has got usually ongoing programs for the care of the needy. It's very easy for the church to identify the need of the society than the government machinery. If government, they want to do that, they have to involve a survey, they have to involve this, they have to involve, it takes quite a long time. While the church has got structures already on the ground, and the church has got, apart from the gathering, these people who are gathered there in their homes, it's easy to locate these people and then identify them. So the church is very close to the people than the government. The church is also a pool of all skills. So if you have got a program, the church has got a pool of skills. You have got volunteers there, you have legislators there, you have entrepreneurs there, all skills are there, and this is their strength. The only limitation that we can talk about is in terms of resource mobilization. Yes, the church can mobilize resources, but at, like me say, an individual church capacity, we find that the resources that may be generated there may not be adequate to meet the needs of the people around in terms of tackling poverty.
So how can the church and the state collaborate to make a more significant impact on poverty and social issues?
The church can do that. In a study that was done by the World Bank, it showed that from 1981 to 2005, there was a reduction of only people living on $1 or less in a day. The reduction was from 52% to 26%. So that was the reduction. While in 1981, there were 52% were living on $1 or less. By 2005, the number had gone to 26. So meaning there was an improvement. And then what was found is that actually what worked to reduce that gap, it was job creation and business, meaning empowering citizens with skills training and also short-term courses.
Right.
There's a charity that can be given for short-term, but we can equip people with skills. At one time we did it with there was a general conference program through the youth of empowering. So what we did was we gathered people in the community, regardless of their religious affiliation or denominational affiliation. People came, the youth, that was the target. So the church had the resources. Then we approached the government to bring trainers. And the course they were doing, their short courses in plumbing, short courses in power electrical. So the resources came from the government, that the facilitators came from government. The resources came from the church. And that was the collaboration. And that can be very effective. And that collaboration is encouraged. The government has got this machinery in terms of human resource.
Right.
And then you have got the church at times can have the resources, like this time when we had this money. So we had the money, they were facilitators, and the community was there, and that collaboration worked. People were trained and they were skilled, given the certification, and some of them are now living on their own. They are doing their own jobs.
Yeah. You know, Mfundisi, the Bible says, I was hungry and you fed me. And sometimes it complains, as there will be those who he will say, Christ will say, I was hungry and you did not feed me. So how does the Bible's call to help the poor influence our views on the role of the church in addressing poverty?
The influence that we find there is that us helping the poor, it's a mandate. You know, it's a command. You and I don't have an option. And when you read in Deuteronomy 15, verse 11, it says, the poor will never cease from the land. And then it further says, open your hand to your poor. Hmm. Meaning it's a mandate. It's a command. In other words, it's a test of your love. Hmm. Do you love God? Because he says, if you cannot love the person you see, then how can you love the God you have not seen?
Absolutely.
So the poor are there as a test.
Absolutely.
So we need to have that in mind, that this call is a mandate, it's a command, and it's also a test to us. If we need love God, what are we going to do to these people who do not have adequate resources? They have resources, but don't have adequate resources. We have to open our hands and reach out to them and help them.
Okay. So my final question.
And the Bible also says this. The Bible also says it's more blessed to give than to receive.
Okay.
So when you give, you are blessed more.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to give you my final question, Funes, and I'll let you enjoy your Friday. What steps can churches take to become more effective in their charitable efforts without compromising this mission?
Thank you. We have got a good example, like in Acts chapter 3, where Peter and John, they are going to pray. They find this man who is lame, who is brought there, he's begging, meaning he can be classified to be poor. But instead of giving money, they tell him, they rise and walk. And this is what we find even in Jesus' approach. When he met the lame, people who are doing this, he empowered them. So even us as a church, we need to reduce on charity gradually, because that's short term.
Okay.
Because aid has been found that it makes people more lazy. If you know that there's someone who give you clothes, there's someone who give you money, someone who give you food regularly, why should you work? So charity needs to be looked at as a short-term plan, short-term program to help someone who is sick, who has got no food today. You can say, let me give you a skill so that you can work on your own. No, they don't have food today. So they have to, the church need to meet the short-term needs, but gradually start looking at increasing on equipping, empowering programs like skilling and reskilling, which is long-term. And that is sustainable. When people have been skilled, they are not a queue to beg again. They work on their own, they also empower others. And then you reduce the number of people who live on $1 or less in a day. Thereby, you are reducing or you are tackling poverty in a sustainable way.
I see. Hey. All right. Fundis, we conclude our conversation on that note. Thank you very much for your time and your insights. May you have a blessed Sabbath tomorrow and a very productive preparation day today. Thank you very much, Fundis.
You're most welcome. And our listeners, God bless you and God bless you abundantly.
Awesome, Fundis.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.